This is Tall Tales time. Stories of adventure. Legends of long ago. Yarns from the day before yesterday. Settle back in your chair and listen as we spin for you Tall Tales. Tonight, a story with a very happy ending. A story called simply The Wedding Ring.
Oh, what was your name in the States? Was it Thompson or Johnson or Bates? Did you murder your wife and fly for your life? Say, what was your name in the States? I don't really want you to tell if a man hails from heaven or hell. In the gold fields don't matter, so spare me your chatter. I don't really want you to tell.
A dollar? A whole dollar for a soda biscuit?
Yep, that's the price, partner. And if we don't get a shipment of grub into Sacramento pretty soon, well, soda biscuits, even biscuits as hard as this in here, are going to be selling for $2. So why don't you shake loose a dollar, sonny, and make an investment in this here biscuit? You might stand to make 100% profit, unless, of course, you eat up your investment.
I'm not likely to eat it, mister. I'm only making $12 a week panning for gold for a fella I hired out to. And with water selling at 3 pints for $2, well, I'm going thirsty as well as hungry.
Hey, where are you from in the States, young fella? Well, not that I care, but...
I'm from Nashville. Nashville in Tennessee.
Tennessee. I bet them Rosaneers is getting right back home, ain't they, son? I bet the ham and the smokehouse is juicier than it ever was, ain't it? I bet that sorghum is...
Stop it!
You take this old-timer's advice, sonny. Go home. Take a boat round the horn, walk over land, hike it through Panama, just any way you can, but go home. California's no place for a clean-cut young fella like you. And it's getting so a man has to bring his gold with him from the States just to stay eating in California. So go home, son. Go back to Tennessee.
Oh, what was your name in the States? Was it Thompson or Johnson or Bates? Did you murder your wife and fly for your life? Say, what was your name in the States?
That was some of the best advice anybody ever gave me. And like most advice, it went completely ignored. How come I went to California, you ask? How come a young man does any of the darn fool things he does? I'm the same feller I was then. At least my name's still Ed Hicks, like it was then. And I look pretty much like the man who headed for California back in the spring of 1850. That is, I'm only a little heavier around the middle. I've got nearly as much hair. But I just can't tell you how come I got it in my head to go to the gold fields. Just put it down to a liking for adventure.
Then ho, boys, ho, for California go. There's plenty of gold, so I've been told, on the banks of the Sacramento shore. Then ho, boys, ho, for California go. There's plenty of bones, so I've been told, on the banks of the Sacramento shore. Then ho, boys, ho.
It was 3 months from the day I left home, March 30th, 1850, to the day I slept in a bed again. But I was only 19 then, and I wasn't as concerned about sleeping and eating as I am now. I'll show you what I mean. Here's a letter I wrote home from California. My first job as a miner here, that would have been at Sacramento, paid me $12 a week. Now I'm doing some better as a surveyor at $5 a day in my board. But California is overrun with immigrants from the States. I strongly advise every man in Nashville with any employment whatever to stay at home.
There's plenty of bones, so I've been told, on the banks of the Sacramento shore. Then ho, boys, ho, to California.
I'm so very glad of your visit, Marianne. Now you just go right into the parlor, and I'll see if the water's boiling for tea. Make yourself right at home, my dear. I'll be back shortly.
That was my first visit to the home where the man I was one day to marry had grown up. I didn't know Ed Hicks from the man in the moon that day, however. He was seeking his fortune in the California gold fields at that moment. I wandered around the parlor, waiting for Mrs. Horton, Mrs. Joseph Horton she was, to return. I played the music box. And then I caught sight of a painting on the parlor wall. The portrait of a little boy, perhaps about 5 years old.
Ah, do you like the portrait? I've always thought it was a very good likeness.
It's a handsome painting. Is the boy in the picture a relative of yours, Mrs. Horton?
My nephew. His name is Edward Hicks.
I didn't know you had a nephew so young. He can't be more than 5 or 6.
He was 5.
But he's older now?
Some. He'll be 21 years old soon. A few years older than yourself, Marianne. He's been in California. He joined the gold rush. But I don't believe he's made his fortune. He'll have to make his stake back home in Tennessee, I guess.
How sad. All that distance, the hardship and the danger, for nothing. But to judge by his portrait, even when he was a little boy, he must have been, well, lively.
You have keen eyes, Marianne, and I judge you admire the painting. As a painting, of course.
Oh, I do indeed. As a painting. I'm very partial to portraits.
Then I'll tell you something. If you will marry Edward Hicks, I will give the painting to you.
My aunt was pretty sure I'd make it home to Tennessee from the California gold fields. Me? Well, I wasn't at all convinced. I tried my luck in Oregon and wound up teaching a one-room school in a village just this side of the jumping-off place of all jumping-off places. That didn't seem to be leading me anywhere. So I made my way to San Francisco and boarded a steamer for Panama. I was on my way home.
Miss Horton, letter from Ed. He's got to Panama.
Then he's coming home. Praise be. Let me see the letter, may I?
Sure, Miss Horton. I got it here in my pocket. There it is. He tells where he is in this line right here.
I reached Cruzy's barefoot and bedraggled with mud from head to foot.
Mercy, the poor lad. And barefoot.
Must have been terrible hard on him, crossing them jungle mountains in his bare feet.
I have roamed over American mountains and crossed the Great Plains, but never have I taken such a trip as this one. My companions, 2 from Alabama and 1 from Tennessee, set out on foot from Panama at noon and reached Cruzy's 26 hours later.
Good morning, Mr. Eastland. Another letter from Edward. He's been in Cuba.
In Cuba? Tarnation. I thought he was coming home.
And now he's in Mexico.
Mexico? Well, I'll
but
be.
But he's waiting for a ship that will bring him to New Orleans.
Well, I should think
oh,
so.
He'll have so much, so very much to tell us.
And after I reached Cuba...
But, dear boy, why did you go to Cuba? Did you have any business there?
Well, no. But I had the chance to go. After all, I'd never seen Cuba, nor Mexico either. I learned Spanish in Mexico.
My goodness, Edward Hicks of Nashville, speaking Spanish. But, Edward, did you find gold?
No, ma'am, I didn't. Leastways, no more than this much. I'll show it to you.
You carry it in your pocket?
Yes, ma'am. There it is. Not much, is it, to go thousands of miles for?
They're very pretty, Edward. Would they be what are called nuggets?
I don't reckon they're big enough to be nuggets, but they're all gold. I know that. Had 'em assayed. Just about enough for to make a stick pin or a ring.
Did you say a ring?
Yes, ma'am. There's enough to make a ring. Thought maybe you'd like one.
Edward, now you're home and all, wouldn't you like to see some of the young people? No doubt they'll want to hear of your adventures. There's a young lady, a Miss Mary Ann White. I'm sure you'd enjoy me. Mary Ann, this is my nephew, Edward Hicks. Edward, this is Miss White.
Pleased to meet you, Miss White.
And I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Hicks. I haven't seen you since you were 5 years old.
Haven't seen me? When I was 5?
Your portrait, Edward. She means the painting. You were 5 then.
You've changed since then, and for the better, Mr. Hicks. Yes, I'd say you've changed distinctly for the better.
Then ho, boys, ho, to California go. There's plenty of gold in the world, I'm told, on the banks of the Sacramento shore. We'll expect our share of the coarsest fare and sometime sleep in the open air. On the cold, damp ground we'll all sleep sound, except when the wolves go howling round. Then ho, boys, ho, to California go. There's plenty of gold in the world, I'm told, on the banks of the Sacramento shore. As oft we roam o'er the dark sea foam, we'll not forget the kind friends at home. But memory kind still brings to mind the love of friends we left behind. Then ho, boys, ho, to California go. There's plenty of gold in the world, I'm told, on the banks of the Sacramento shore.
Mary Ann.
Yes, Edward?
Don't you dast ever lose that wedding ring. I traveled all the way to California to get it.
I'll wear it always, Edward. Now, there's something I want you to do before you go to the office.
What's that?
It's the painting, your portrait. Let's decide where to hang it.
Then ho, boys, ho, to California go. There's plenty of gold, so I've been told, on the banks of the Sacramento shore.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Southern legends. Tonight you heard A Story of a Wedding Ring, mined from the California gold fields.
Then ho, boys, ho, for California go. There's plenty of bones, so I've been told, on the banks of the Sacramento shore. Then ho, boys, ho.
Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey and is heard every Tuesday evening at this same time. The ballad singer was George Grice. Tall Tales is produced by Marjorie Cooney and comes to you as a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services.